You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm. Jason Thornton, John O'Connell and John Budden, the team in the studio, jumping from Carlisle and Kempton, accompanied by all the racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio once again by James Millman.
2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Lucky you, Mark.
Lucky me. I mean, what have I done to deserve such a pleasure?
It's that Pimnot Junior. He was cheeky. He got me to
swap. He stitched you right up there.
And then he was presenting, so he didn't have to do the podcast today. So, Ollie Pimlot pulled a fast one.
We've got some good things to talk about, at least. I mean, on this podcast, we can reflect on the performance of Mike Bite, who made his return on Sunday afternoon at Sandown. Largely good round of jumping, sometimes rather exuberant, in fact.
Too exuberant, and yeah. A little bit. He's left a lot of air between his fences. He had plenty of energy on his first run. Luckily, the opposition wasn't quite his class, and it didn't pay any problem. And he travelled extremely well, quick and clear, nice enough. No real quirks. Didn't really see any signs of that up the hill, because Sandown's a stiff old hill.
He looked pretty straightforward, didn't he, on this occasion?
Horses do hang there anyway, so he looked straightforward. Texans will be happy. Job done. They were decent in behind, but he was a short price and he got the job done as expected.
He is now the 5-2 favourite for the King George at Kempton at Christmas on Boxing Day. Should he be that short at the top of the market? I suppose the thing with him is we've seen him returning.
We know he's in good form. Yeah. We haven't really set up any of his rivals, can we, for the King George? That's the question. It could be a really strong race come Boxing Day, or it might be a slightly weaker renewal. Last year's times, etc., he was recording a much quicker time before he hit the deck in the Feltham. I think he probably would have won last year's renewal. But I'd say very interesting to see what happens and what horse actually turn up. At the moment, he's shown he's in top form. He's trained on from last year. He's in good spirits. And he perhaps is growing up a little bit.
Hmm.
So I think everyone in Nick Henderson camp would be pretty happy with that performance today, Mark.
Yep. Hopefully we get some of these turning up the market, by the way. Looks like this at the moment. Mike Bite 5-2, Thistlecrack 3-1, 4-1 Sizing John, Duvan 5-1, 12-1 Fox Norton, T for 2-12s as well. Bristol Demay is 14-1, 16s for Q Card, Disco and Jack Adam also 16s with Road to Respect and Whisper, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others.
See, every single one of those we've not seen at their best this year, or we've not seen him at all. Thistlecrack obviously has been injured. He's had a little gallop round Wing Count, and I think he's having a hurdle comeback before he perhaps makes it for the King George. So we're not really going to know 100% about him. Sizing John as well. Betfair's going to tell us more about him at Haydock, which could be a fascinating contest. Q Card, age, new jockey, etc., etc. So I say he's short, but the reason he's short is because we know he's in good form at the moment, and realistically, he's shown the best, and he should be that kind of price, but we don't know what's going to turn up, do we, on Boxing Day?
He's also 5-1 co-favourite of 3 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Mike Bite, Sizing John and Thistlecrack, all 5-1 in that market. And he's 4-1 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival, should the Gold Cup, for whatever reason, not end up being his target. So a few anti-post markets to consider there with regards to Mike Bite. We also saw over in Ireland, Footpad make
I was very impressed, Mark.
Decent chase debut.
That jumped extremely well, because I was a little bit concerned. Bacardi's yesterday didn't jump quite so well in his chase debut for the Mullins team. And Footpad was against a decent enough rival today. A solid 140 horse who'd had chasing experience and fitness on his side in Brecard for Gordon Elliott. Brelard, sorry, who's from a yard in really, really good form. Gordon Elliott's been mopping up the greater races today. And Footpad absolutely destroyed him. Put 11 lengths clear, 13 lengths clear, the rest. Jumped impeccably. I think Dale Jacob was pretty impressed with that. And a horse that just wasn't quite top class over hurdles last year. Had a really, really good solid season, though. Obviously, a good fourth at Cheltenham. And for me, he's taken really well defences. I was impressed.
He's 8-1 for the Arkle.
I think that might be a nice each-way value at the moment. Because owned by the Meneers, I think he would be their leading Arkle candidate. So regardless of what William Mullins has got in the yard, you'd imagine that's where he'd be heading. Daryl Jacob going over to Ireland to ride him, the Meneer retained rider. And no, as a whole, I was just very, very impressed. And as you know, I'm rarely impressed. So I thought that was a good effort.
Take note when James Millman is impressed. I'm just trying to see what price we went direct left. I'm sure I saw 10-1. And it's now 8-1, so I don't know if it's already shortened up. Can't confirm that, though, unfortunately. But that's his price at the moment for the Arkle. A pretty big weekend of jumps racing then. We're kind of back into the full swing of things. Got Cheltenham coming up next week. What's the standout for you this weekend? What do you take out of this weekend's action?
Yesterday, I thought Bryony Frost gave Present Man a cracking ride at Wincanton. That was a good effort from both horse and rider. Jockey to keep a note off that £5 claim is pretty valuable, I think, for the rest of the season. Probably we lacked a little bit of class, I suppose, yesterday at Aintree. You know what I mean, Harry. Got the job done. Solid. Not spectacular, but he was given £8 away of a trip. Probably short of his best, so he was a decent effort. Again, all connections will be pretty happy with that. Elite Hurdle, London Prize. Again, he's not a big name, but he's such a solid horse. Emphasising Ian Williams' talents on the flat and the jump. Second in Cesarewitch on his previous start. He won the Elite Hurdle. He may be one for some of the handicap hurdles at Cheltenham, but he may just lack a little bit of class for that. Modus, impressed with him as well. He jumped very well when winning the Rising Stars Novices Chase at Wincanton. Only three runners, again, another small field event, but he was impressive. Didn't show any quirks, Modus. So I think lots of happy connections, I think. Lots to look forward to as the jump season really steps up the gear at Cheltenham in a week's time.
We're going to look at some jumps racing taking place on Monday. The two venues for the jumping on Monday, Carlisle and Kempton. And Carlisle is the high five meeting here at William Hill. So if you find a winner on that card that goes on to score by five or more lengths in any race with six or more runners, then you'll also get 15% on top of your winnings as a free bet, courtesy of High Five here at William Hill. First race that we're going to look at, James, is the 2:35 at Carlisle. This is a graduation chase over just short of 2 miles. Only four of them in the lineup for this, which is a little bit of a disappointing turnout, but there must be a horse in there that's made you look at this race.
It's what happens, isn't it, with these graduation races. I think they're a good idea myself because it gives horses a few more options. Don't get many runners, but we often get competitive fields. And again, this is one of those contests because I can't really rule any of the four out safely. King's Odyssey comes here, the highest rated off 1.42, but he's got to give a lot of weight to Nuts Well. He's got to give £11 to the six-year-old, so that makes Nuts Well £5 well in, and he will be the selection. Obviously inexperienced at the fences compared to King's Odyssey, but he's progressive. I thought he ran a nice race when second on chase debut behind Johnny Sofa here at Carlisle. I'm sure he's going to strip much fitter for that. And for me, of all the allowances, he is a novice taking on more experienced horses, but I think it could be a well-placed opportunity for Man Hamilton in his graduation chase. Gerbil Joey hasn't had the best of times the last two outings, pulled up and unseated, but he's a decent horse for Morris Barnes. Again, he's got an £11 penalty. He might just struggle to give that weight away to Nuts Well. Darren to Yank for Donna McCain. That yard's in very, very good form. He's won his last two starts. They came at Bangor and Carlisle in handicaps off 1-1-5 and 1-2-4. Probably lacks a class in this contest, but he comes here fit and in good form. So he's going to be dangerous, but only four runners. Slight shame, like you say, field-wise, but it's very competitive. We've not got a really, really decent horse, which means the rest are playing for places. All four could actually win this race. So I think it'll be a fascinating contest. I think Nuts Well is the one to be with, and that's the one to beat. So Nuts Well's a selection.
Nuts Well, the pick for James then in the 2:35 at Carlisle. We move over to Kempton next for their 2:55. This is the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle, a Class 2 event over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Seven runners set to go to post for this one, James. So we're just missing out on the three place each way angle, I suppose. But it is quite a competitive race. You could give several of these a chance as well.
Again, small field, but it is competitive. Not many that you could rule out. I'm going to go for Bagsgrove, who was pretty impressive when winning at Aintree. Beaten Stamp Your Feet by 2.25 lengths off 1.32. Handicap, I said, put you up £8. But that was still Takes him to 140, and I think he could be a decent horse for Harry Fright. Takes on a few rivals who are fit from the flats. Who Dares Wins, who had a good season in that sphere. Won the Cesarewitch trial before finishing 10th in the main event at Newmarket. He's very solid. Hurdles and flat at the highest level and in the handicap ranks. And he's a danger, but he's a little bit exposed now. 148, given £8 to Bags Grove, he might just struggle. Grand National, horse Last Samurai. He's back over hurdles, a rare hurdles outing for him. But he is 3 wins and 5 starts in the hurdling sphere, so he's a decent animal over the smaller obstacles. And obviously he's probably a bit of a pipe opener, but he's quite well handicapped. He's 154 over hurdles, 159 over fences, so he's arguably 5 hand well in. Kim Bailey's in very, very good form. He's had a lot of winners. I think he's had a 33% strike rate at the moment. And I certainly wouldn't be ruling out the Last Samurai, but I think the fitness on his side, a progressive profile, Bags Grove for Harry Fry and Noel Feely is going to be very, very hard to beat in a attempts qualifier at Kempton.
Just looking through previous winners of this race, Kim Bailey actually won it last year with You Never Call, so it's interesting that he has since. The Last Samurai here for his season opener. Just a quick question as well on Bags Grove. Obviously, pretty impressive at Aintree last time.
Yep.
Time before that, form ties in quite closely with Some Kind of King. Only 4 lengths between them that day as they finished mid-division. Quite a difference in weights as well.
Yeah, beat him 4 lengths when they're 8th and 9th respectively. Some Kind of King obviously much better off tomorrow. Arguably for me, Bags Grove came on plenty for that run. But price-wise, you look at Some Kind of King's profile and the form figures aren't looking particularly inspiring, but he's been running in some particularly strong races. 5th behind Brio Conti at Kempton was his highlight over 2.5 mile. That was off 130. He's £3 lower here. And like I said, there wasn't a great deal between the pair of them at Chepstow when they reappeared this season. So I'd say Some Kind of King could be a bit of value. But unfortunately, with the 1-2 only on offer for place money, it's a little bit frustrating, but a fascinating little contest.
I just want to quickly mention as well, before we go, the race at Kempton at 3:30. Another graduation chase with the small field there. Whisper against Clan de Zerbo.
Yeah,
two nice. I mean, we know plenty about Whisper. It seems like he's been around forever, and his form ties in with Mike Bite and such. Do you expect Whisper to make a winning reappearance?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? The last time these two horses had a bit of a match race was at Cheltenham in the Dipper, where there was 4 runners on that occasion, but the other two were big prices, and there was half length between the pair of them. That occasion, Clan de Zerbo did get £5 from Whisper, and Whisper's arguably improved when beaten the nose by Mike Bite at Cheltenham. Didn't quite take advantage of Mike Bite's waywardness, and then was again behind him at Aintree. Clan de Zerbo didn't really go on from Cheltenham. Finished 4th when we last saw him. That was behind Cloudy Dream at Ayr. Interesting to see how he gets on. A match race, more of a spectacle. Great for anyone that is going to Kempton to see the two horses in action. Just a shame we've not got a couple more to try and take him on. But it's a tricky one because, realistically, the other horses around for these races wouldn't be in Whispers and Clan de Zerbo's class. So they'd just be making up numbers. Frustrating to see. It would have been nice to have a few more runners, but realistically, they probably wouldn't challenge these two. So I'm not sure what racing can do about it. We've had Mike Bite's race today at Sandown, and obviously this one here at Kempton. 4 runners and 2 runners, respectively. 4 up at Carlisle. I think Carlisle's good because it's obviously servicing the northern horses. Yeah, maybe we only need one of these races, but different distances. And I think they are generally a good idea. It's just not really a punting opportunity, unfortunately.
No, I think it's good for the horse's development and such.
Exactly, yeah. It's just one of the races where small fields, it's hard to have a real strong opinion because realistically, Whisper's probably going to beat Clan de Zerbo and no one's going to learn anything new. But it's a good way for them to start their seasons without being thrown into a really, really competitive race.
Of the horses you've put up then, best opinion or strongest opinion?
Strongest opinion is Nutswell at Carlisle. That's the nap of the day as we go into day 2 of the Naps table. And a winning one yesterday as Hobland as a bow won at Sandown.
Returning to the Naps table with a bang.
We're going to rule the roost this year, Mark.
Well done, James. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Jason Thornton, John O'Connell and John Budden, the team in the studio, Carlisle, Kempton and Southwell. The 3 meetings. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.